I'm just saying, Empire is still the best. It's the most complex, the most sophisticated. Wasn't afraid to have a dark ending.
Yeah, but come on, if it wasn't for the first one, you wouldn't have any of the rest of the movies.
Well, at least we can all agree the third one's always the worst.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Heroic Remedies, Unmasking Comic Book Cinema with your hosts JT and Bryce Lennon. Today we're covering X-Men Dark Phoenix, released in 2019 and directed by Simon Kinberg. The movie centers on Jean Grey as she evolves into the Dark Phoenix, a powerful and unstable mutant after being hit by a mysterious cosmic force during a space rescue mission. This film attempts a closer adaptation of the iconic The Dark Phoenix saga from the X-Men comics, exploring themes of power, control, and identity as Jean's transformation threatens both her fellow mutants and the world at large, pushing the X-Men to their limits and deciding whether to save their teammate or save humanity.
JT and Bryce Lennon, this is Jarvis from the Avengers headquarters. It's time to discuss your movie.
So when we last spoke, I had very, very, very little hopes for Dark Phoenix. And it had to be maybe my obsession with Apocalypse, but this movie was truly interesting. And what I mean by truly is I was never bored. And that's something that I can't say for all movies. I feel as though that from every scene to scene, from every dialogue to dialogue, there was something interesting happening. One thing I did notice to start off is that Raven's makeup was totally different. Makeup and Raven's makeup from previous movies was like night and day different. Like they just didn't do as much as before. And I didn't know if that was like a sign of maturity or a sign of cost cut of a budget or a sign of just a different type of creativity by Simon Kinberg, you know?
Did you like it?
I don't know. Because did you notice we didn't see her in full blue a lot?
I mean, that's typical of Jennifer Lawrence. She did that when X-Men Apocalypse as well.
She was avoiding full blue?
Yeah, she wasn't really trying to be behind the scenes. Like, she wasn't really trying to do the makeup.
I think that was a result of what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was something I noticed. I think that it made her stand out in the beginning of the movie a little bit to me from like my eye watching it. And after she was accidentally murdered, when Jean lost her stuff one time, I kind of went back and forth in my head, was like, I wonder if this was like foreshadowing or some way to highlight her as a character so that people like myself will pay attention more to her just to lose her. Yeah, that's where my thought went. But what else? So this movie also, I got to give it up because, you know, I'm a forever hater, Ty Sheridan. He did the right thing a couple of times. And okay. I looked at Tavaya and I was like, is this the first time Cyclops has ever like done something correct in the movies? One, how cool was that opening scene where they were able to fly in space? The Black Jet or Blackbird orbited space. Did you see that?
I personally think that that was the best scene in the movie. For me, there's not too many times where we see the X-Men just suit up and go on a mission. And I thought it was amazing. Granted, I didn't agree with some of the powers. Storm just like using her power from the ship. I'm like, okay, sis. I didn't know there was oxygen molecules in space, but whatever. I didn't like that Jean can just like not use oxygen to breathe, but Nightcrawler had to wear the spacesuit. But the X-Jet in space, amazing. The space shuttle, the mission itself, amazing. It was very X-Men. I think the musical score throughout the whole movie, amazing. I felt the intensity of the mission. And I do like that they showed the early conflict that would go throughout the movie where Professor X really has no problem putting these people in dangerous situations. And Raven's like, what the hell is going on here? Like, he's kind of losing his humanity a little bit, which in the comic book has happened so often, but we have yet to see it in the films. And I really like that they touched on that. They're not making him this perfect person, that he's very flawed. And I really enjoyed that.
The fact that you brought that up makes me think back to something he said in the movie. I'm losing too many people. Or I've lost people before. And I thought back to the Easter egg or the history of X-Men that you always tell me, like the real first X-Men, the real first class, they all really die. And I thought that might have been like a ode to that comic series.
Yeah, it's definitely paying homage to Deadly Genesis, where Professor X, the young teenagers got stuck on an island. Then he recruited a new team. They all died. Then he erased Cyclops' memories. And then one of the people from the original team, who's Cyclops' baby brother, comes back to get his revenge. And then when everyone finds out the truth, they're like, I think Cyclops kicks Professor X out the mansion. Like, you can't come back here because what you did was effed up. He went on with his business just like the end of this movie. To your point, I definitely felt like they paid homage to it. And also, I don't know why the critics panned this movie. I felt like it was paced very well, more so in my opinion than X-Men Apocalypse. I honestly think it was paced better than the first X-Men movie. Like, I felt like I was engaged the entire time, even though I didn't agree with the villain. But I really felt like this movie actually deserves a second watch for most people. Or a first watch for those who didn't watch it.
Tobias was caught up in it, and I think that when you mentioned last week that the Skrulls were the original enemy for this movie, that would have made so much sense. And they gave them the same powers. They basically gave them the scroll powers because scrolls can copy people. And so I can see how cool that would have been and maybe brought back some more fanfare, right? And you said your favorite scene was the opening scene. I want to get back to Cyclops doing something right. Then I'm going to talk about my favorite scene. Ty Sheridan shooting his optic blast from the jet. Did you see that? Hey, Scott, let him have one. All right. I was like, they didn't take long for them to like really hone him in and use his powers, right? For me, it was really good fanfare.
I think this movie had the best action.
That's what I was about to say. My favorite scene
The
was the
train.
action scene where all the mutants teamed up against the aliens, and you just got to see everybody being really creative in how to attack, like Nightcrawler timing it to leave them outside. And then he had like the vengeful face, like, I want this to happen to you. I was very excited by that. Very, very excited by that. I gotta tell you. I also enjoyed Beast actually going like evil Beast. He opened the scene by like jumping in through, and they showed you the clip for you see his fist smashing the camera. So it's almost like you're seeing it from the point of view of the alien. I thought that was ridiculously dope. And I'm trying not to mention my boy, but I have to. Magneto was getting busy. He was getting busy.
Busy.
He took a train. He crunched a train.
No, literally, like, disintegrated my man like a damn soda can, like, just crunched it.
Then he like, you see this part? He goes like, he just flew it
It
away.
was so good. It was Beast throwing the person in the air and a storm, like, boom, with the lightning bolt. I was like,
Two man, run that two
when could
man.
Storm do all this flying?
It didn't take her forever to load her power up either.
Listen, Alexandra Shipp, although she had like three lines, she did the damn thing. I ain't gonna hold you.
Yeah, I liked her lines too. Like, I liked that she was really engaged. Like I said to Tavai, I was like, oh, I guess Storm used to speak this movie. I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
She was ready to take Jean's ass out.
I was kind of like Jessica Chastain, who was, I guess, Book or Vuk, the head alien, when she arrived to the train and it was her versus Magneto, and he unloaded all of those rounds into her. I was like, how is she so super? And then I realized she was feeding off a little bit of the Phoenix's powers. I was caught up by that. Did that automatically come to you? Or did you always
I
think she
think
did?
you just brought that to my attention. I don't think I even noticed that. But yeah, that makes sense. It was her sprinting in the stilettos for me. Like, sis was ready. She even kicked them bad boys off. She was ready to go down. Like, she jumped off that little
Ledge.
overpass right into that train. Was like, what's good, Magneto? Let's go.
Yeah, this I gotta like the action, you're right. It was definitely action packed. And for me, like that train scene was my favorite scene. And what I do enjoy about our Sophie Turner, Jean Grey, is that she is Phoenix. Like, look at my picture. This is the real story of what we saw. I think in past cartoons and even like past versions of Phoenix, Jean Grey gets like taken over by it, like possessed by it, where I don't think that Sophie Turner's Jean Grey is ever possessed by it. It's almost like an evolution, almost like a werewolf versus like a zombie spirit, right? I feel like the Phoenix that we see with the gold face is more like the werewolf thing that she can control, almost like how Beast can control his blue. Because in comparison to the other ones, it was almost like the other Jean had consciousness, like thinking about Jean talking to Logan. So it's like she snaps out, "Oh, Logan, save me," before she snaps back in to be, it's like there's two spirits in there versus Sophie Turner's is like, "Nah, it's really me. It is me. I'm just really freaking mad right now." I don't see her being possessed. What do you think about that?
No, I agree. I think it's almost like she evolved essentially. And to your point, it's interesting because when we left off in X-Men Apocalypse, she kind of had the Phoenix Force there, right?
Correct.
So now I'm thinking about like Phoenix Force there. Maybe, like I said, that those rays in this movie just enhanced her powers even more. But who knows? Also, after Dark Phoenix, Professor X could have put those things back in her brain and depowered her. And then when she went to space, it was a wrap.
I mean, it's not too far off that we can get another movie from these people, right? Because this movie is only 4 years old, or is it over?
It's done. So what messed up this movie was, before it came out, Disney acquired the X-Men. That's why they weren't Skrulls, because of Captain Marvel. And because of that ending we saw with the train sequence, that wasn't even the original ending. It was like a whole fight sequence in DC,
Oh.
but it had less action. So they did the reshoots with the train sequence, because they were like, well, if we're gonna go out, let's just go out with a bang.
They
So
did.
they reshot that a year later, I think, and added
Wow.
that into the movie.
I like it. I'm a fan.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like if you just sit down and watch this movie, it's not bad. Like, there's some points you're like, certain things could have been written better. It was kind of like cringy. Like, Mystique's lines are to me like a little weird. Like, they weren't really fitting for Raven. And then some of Sophie Turner's lines, I feel like were a little weird. But other than that, I thought it was a good movie. Like, I would watch it again.
You think like Jennifer Lawrence was channeling her Hunger Games character a little bit too much? Charles, you're a liar. We're gonna do
Yeah.
this.
It just seemed like she didn't want to be there anymore. They gave her the least amount of filming time with Evan Peters, and they were just like, here are your lines, say what they are, and we're done with you. Let's just go on. And that's why I think they killed her off.
I can see that.
Quicksilver got injured because he's too powerful. So they were like, all right, we're going to injure him and break his leg, because we cannot have him running fast throughout this whole movie. So
I mean, when Phoenix was able to see him in the movie, like that was pretty incredible. That's the first time ever that his speed thing like did not work. And she was like, stop. It was basically like, stop. That's what I found, and I always knew for them to go out like this really does prove that Phoenix is the, well, Jean Grey is the strongest mutant in the entire Marvel universe. Like, she proved it in Apocalypse, where she killed Apocalypse, and then this backs it up a little bit, right? We don't think she had Phoenix in the space mission, right?
No.
No. But maybe this just enhanced her Phoenix, correct?
Right. Like we said in a previous episode, this movie took place in 1992. It was not giving 1992.
What did they try to do? I was like, some of the TVs like were boxy, right? It
Nothing. What did you think about the uniforms?
is the first like going back to the X-Men, Uncanny X-Men. Is that right? Is that who they were in the Uncanny X-Men? Yeah, they did it. This Simon Kinberg guy was pretty on point. And he did it all without a Wolverine.
Right. And you know who he is? He's one of the, I think he's produced every single X-Men movie.
Oh, was this his first time directing and writing?
Yep.
Oh, he had a good time. Oh, he had a good time.
I was reading like the original script for not the original script, but I was reading like the original like concept for the movie. So originally it was supposed to be the Hellfire Club.
As the enemy.
Right. They were supposed to have two movies. Like the first movie's she was becoming Dark Phoenix. And then I think by the end of it with the Hellfire Club, they defeat them, they bring her back, right? But then at the end of that movie, the aliens are going to come like, oh, we sensed the Phoenix Force. And it was supposed to be the Shi'ar Empire, which was supposed to be joining them. And then that was going to be the second movie where they're going to take them into space and fight on the moon, just like the comic book. But because Disney bought the movie rights to the X-Men, they condensed everything in one movie and then changed it to just the aliens as the villain and not the Hellfire Club. And there's even concept art for the Hellfire Club.
And I heard something about the, I guess the Feiges saying that they're going to bring back the X-Men series.
I sent you the links where that the Wolverine video game leaked out,
Yes.
and that they have X-Men characters in that. The next X-Men video game is going to come out in 2030. So that means a movie has to be coming out before it or right after it.
Leech? Oh my gosh.
Honestly, I didn't mind the aliens either. I thought it was cool, but you can just tell that wasn't the original concept for them. And then, like, even okay, some components of the Hellfire Club were in this movie because even when the aliens just took Jean back to this mansion in New York, that's very Hellfire Club. Their outfits were very Hellfire Club, the all black. Those elements are still in the movie.
Oh, like they kept those in there on purpose. You're right. Yeah.
I wonder if they had like 6 more months to reshoot, if they could have just reshot some scenes, change some dialogue, and just made them the Hellfire Club and not aliens.
It would have been crazy, but what's his face would have had to be there too, right?
Who?
The guy from First Class.
No, he's dead. What I would have done, I would have made Vuk Lady Mastermind, because from the X-Men Dark Phoenix or the Phoenix storyline from the comic books, Mastermind is the one who manipulates Jean into becoming the Phoenix, but he works for the Hellfire Club. But Mastermind also has a daughter who's Lady Mastermind, who has blonde hair. So I just would have made her Lady Mastermind. She works for the Hellfire Club.
That's easy.
Right.
And it's true. Man, that's easy and true to the story. That would have been really interesting too. Another shout out, because I'm going to give him his flowers. Ty Sheridan doing something right again. And the scene where Magneto's Brotherhood teams up with Hank McCoy to go try to take out Jean. And he uses a car reflection to shoot like a laser at the
That
psychic.
was so good.
So I'm saying, Ty Sheridan again, giving
I
it to
didn't
you.
like Beast becoming evil. Hank, stop. I know you're upset, but you're going to team up with Magneto of all people.
I mean, it was extreme.
Yeah. And then my thing is, how is everyone getting to Genosha? It's an island. Like,
Well, the X-Jet was there. Magneto probably flew them with his powers. I think Magneto, post the Apocalypse movie, really showed off how strong he is. The pulling the train from the through the ground to block the door was pretty strong. The precision of him being able to crunch the train to nothing, we brought that back. The ability to control every gun on the ship, on the train, and firing them with precision, I thought all was like pretty impressive. And he's always done cool things, you know? Changing the gravitational force of the Earth in previous movies. What was one where he installed in Days of Future Past, he installed the metal into the Sentinels. That was also
yeah, he's also an electrical engineer as well. Someone doesn't like what? That was a lot. Sure.
yeah. I
Sure.
love him. Listen, he's here on my screen now. This is why I found it, because I need to keep him included. This is As you can tell, I think somebody asked me one time if I could be any mutant. Magneto was my guy. I just believe in it, you know?
I hear you. Oh, I just have all this random trivia in my brain, and I'm going all over the place.
I
So
like it.
apparently, Olivia Munn was supposed to reprise her role as Psylocke and been one of the henchmen on Genosha for Magneto, but she couldn't film, so they replaced her with the character of Selene, who was like the black girl with the shortcut situation. But it's weird that they use Selene because Selene is actually older than Apocalypse. And she also works for the Hellfire Club. So that's what I'm saying. They have elements from the original script in there.
And they, oh, she probably just kept them there.
Right. And I'm just like, I was just thinking about a quick fix in my head. So hear me out. I wouldn't have killed Raven then, right? I would have had Jean F the X-Men up, and then she feels bad and flies away. Then, rather than the whole funeral sequence, I feel like Professor X is like very, he has to make a difficult decision. So he flies the X-Men to Genosha to get help from Magneto. And Raven convinces Magneto and his team to go to New York and get Jean back. But then in the midst of that fight, that's when Mystique gets killed. And then that's when Magneto is ready to kill Phoenix but fails. And then they get kidnapped and taken on a train. I feel like that would have been smoother because I really want Magneto to be more of like an anti-hero again, not so much a villain. Professor X and Magneto, like they ended on good terms the last movie, and I want them to have more of like a brother type friendship. If you need help,
Yeah, you say brotherhood?
yeah, like, well, not that's why I switched up my words. Not a brotherhood, but like a brother type friendship. If you need help, I got you. If I need help, whatever, vice versa. I just felt like there was an opportunity for Professor X to continue his string of being vulnerable throughout the movie and to like go to Magneto for help to get Jean back. Also, because Magneto has his helmet, Jean can't use her powers to kind of figure out where the X-Men are. Genosha is built like it's a metal town or metal city, and like Jean can't use her powers to get through it because it's the same material from the helmet.
You gave me a thought. You know who I think would be a badass movie-based fight? The Sentinels from Days of Future Past and Phoenix. The ones who could
I didn't
evolve.
think it would be a. Oh, you're talking about the future Sentinels?
Yeah, versus Phoenix. I think she would be able to, because I don't know if you can adapt to what she's doing. Like, ice ain't stopping her. You get what I'm trying to say? And she has she has Phoenix's powers, but Jean's powers being able to manipulate and destroy, just dust you. Literally, she could dust you. Do you get what I'm saying? So these impossible Sentinels could lose to. Oh, let's do this game. Let's you tell me who the Sentinels from Days of Future Past, who they could beat, because I three names just popped in my head. Apocalypse.
Who they couldn't beat.
How do you think Apocalypse will fare against the Days of Future Past?
They would kill him. If it's the
Ooh.
apocalypse from the movie, they would kill him.
You don't think he
They
would
put his
last?
ass, no, they put his ass right to sleep again.
I thought he
Or he
had.
would teleport out. He would play a very defensive game.
He would teleport away. What's our boy from First Class, the enemy? The enemy.
Sebastian Shaw.
Yes.
Well, he might fare better because if they shot something at him, he could absorb it. But I don't know if he could survive if they stabbed him because he's not invulnerable. He
No.
absorbs energy. Honestly, I think he would pull a Bishop. Him and Bishop have the same powers, essentially. So he probably would like take enough energy and just make a nuclear bomb out of himself and blow them all up, including himself. So it'd be like a suicide mission. I don't know if he would survive that.
What about I'm not going to bring up Magneto because we saw how he fared against them,
But he was
but
also old Magneto.
what about I think Apocalypse Magneto would crush them.
I think he would give a good fight, but I don't know if, well, are these Sentinels made of metal?
The future ones.
I don't think so.
I don't remember.
I don't think so. I don't think they were made of metal. So he might be screwed.
No matter what,
Because
right?
there's so many of them.
It was.
I think Jean
Would destroy
would
them.
literally, I don't even think she would even destroy. I think she would like make them, she would control them and make them work for her. She's that powerful.
Like, just, yeah, stop them,
She
right?
would
Like,
stop them, turn them around, and make them fight each other.
yeah, that's how, yeah, that excites me how strong she is. That is exciting to me. You know, that is something that really holds my attention. All right. Thanks for, yeah, thanks for amusing me with that, man.
I have a question.
Go.
Which Jean would win? Dark Phoenix Jean or X-Men The Last Stand Jean?
Last Stand Jean, she was strong as ever, straight anger, and she was more, I personally think she was more like a possession. So, but she was also controlled a little bit by Magneto. I think Dark Phoenix Jean, only because this Phoenix has been in space and can fly and can do all those things. And if it's, yeah, I definitely think it's Dark Phoenix Jean. I just feels like she did so much more than Last Stand Jean. Right? Last Stand Jean was able to control the X-Jet. Well, control one just Phoenix, she was able to control a wave, right? She disappeared Cyclops with a kiss.
She disintegrated hundreds of soldiers.
Right.
Disintegrated.
Like as the, like this, right? Like
They were like done. They were like turning into dust.
Yeah, I remember. That's what I'm
Turning
saying.
into dust. The whole damn crew. Even the Brotherhood people.
Dark Phoenix was able to control hers, though. Do you remember she's remember Cyclops? Oh, another ode to Cyclops, where he, hey Jean, you're fucking up. Like, look at my hand. Like Ty shirt. Remember he was like trying to go save her, and his hand started disintegrating, and then
Yes, and she
Cyclops
brought
told
that
her
thing
like,
right back. She brought that
huh?
thing right back.
She controlled it. Like she was under control. It was cool. I'm telling you, second time around, very like impressed by this movie. I ain't gonna lie.
I tried to tell you, you were like, no, I don't know. I was like, no, it's really good. It's just for it to be the last one, it's like, eh. But it's to me, it's better than Apocalypse. I'm not gonna say it's a great movie. I just think it's good. It's good. It's good.
I think the reason why Apocalypse people like the movie is because the comic was balanced. But I think my original fandom in 19 was like, yo, who are these villains? Like, miss me with these villains. And then that skewed my view of the movie. That's kind of what you heard in my voice. Being open to it now, 4 years later, just being a fan of it after watching all the other previous consecutive movies. And then that's when I said, yo, I wasn't bored at all. Like, on my toes, like, I rewatched the first 45 minutes of the movie just because Tobias says she didn't see it. I was like, oh, we can start over again. I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, the music score helped. It was phenomenal. Like when they were on their like missions, like it was like dee, 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 dee. It was like very like I don't know, like mess with your emotions. Like you felt the intensity. Like I don't know, I really enjoyed it.
Very good, man.
So, thank you everyone for listening. Tune in next week, same place, same time, same two people. All right, later.